Some of you have asked also about this tartan stole that I'm wearing. This is the clergy tartan from Scotland. Next Sunday, we'll be celebrating Reformation Sunday. And if you have, let me just say this first. It's Reformation Sunday. As Presbyterians, our kind of section of the Reformation comes from Scotland. And so next week, we'll be speaking with our greatest Scottish brogue. And if you have any tartan, also known as plaid, maybe it'd be a good day to wear some tartan. So if you have some tartan, I'll be wearing mine. I encourage you to wear yours as we celebrate our great history as a church that goes way before 1884, right here? So let's come now to God's Word. We spent the last 3 weeks listening in on Jesus' cram session about discipleship. 7 of the Gospel of John's 21 chapters focus on the events of one full day, from Thursday night until Friday night. And 5 of those 7 chapters are just about Thursday night. It was on that night that Jesus gathered his disciples in the upper room and gave them his final instructions before the cross. Because everything would change after the cross. Everything was changed. He wasn't going to be with them in the same way, even after the resurrection. And so it's as if he's summing up all that he's shared with them over the last 3 years of life and ministry together. It's his discipleship cram session. And we've been using words to help jog our memory of those incredibly important instructions. Can you remember them? First, we looked at the way that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And we summed up his discipleship lesson with the word, serve. Then we listened again to the new command that Jesus gave his disciples that night, and we remembered to love. And last week, as we listened in as Jesus addressed their troubled hearts, and we were reminded that a disciple of Jesus must learn to trust in Jesus. Serve and love and trust. And this week, in the second half of John chapter 14, Jesus moves from the theme of trust back to the theme of love. But he connects love with an extraordinarily important part of being a disciple. And if we miss this important aspect of discipleship, we will never fully learn what it means to participate in the mission that God gives the church. And so my prayer today is that we're ready to listen carefully to God's holy word. Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. If you don't have your own Bible, I invite you to turn in your pew Bible. John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. Let's look at the scripture together. It says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you, in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I will come. I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to my Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. God, come now by your Spirit and speak to us through your word. Make my words your words. Open our hearts to hear what you have to say. Not that we would just know more stuff today, but that would be changed by your Spirit for the sake of your kingdom to come and for your will to be done. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 In the first half of chapter 14, Jesus talked all about trusting in God and trusting in Him. And now in the second half, He switches to the theme of love. And yet there's an important implication of love that's highlighted four times in this section. And the implication of love that Jesus expects is obedience. Let's look at just three, those first three of the way He highlights. Look back in verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. In verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And again in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Does it seem like Jesus is trying to make a point? So what is that point? See, this is a really important question, because lots of religious people have gotten this answer wrong over and over again. It's super important to get this right, because if it gets nuanced and just the wrong way, it can quickly get turned into a legalistic message that runs counter to the entire narrative of Scripture. If we get this wrong, we can subtly become a church that preaches a false gospel. That's serious business. And so this week I've been working hard to make sure I'm getting it right. I've asked the Lord over and over to help me communicate this wonderful message here about obedience and why it matters. And I think the point that Jesus is making is this: a natural and expected outcome of the disciples' loving relationship with Jesus is obedience to what He's taught them to do. But since our translation starts with the word if in that verse 15, I think it's easy to think of this like maybe it's a bit of a test from Jesus, or maybe it's a threat from Jesus, or at worst, maybe it's a manipulation, you know, like the way a person in power might manipulate his followers by saying, if you really loved me, guys, you would do what I ask you to do. But that's not it at all. And as we hear in the context of this passage, it doesn't seem to me that Jesus is wondering or questioning whether or not the disciples are going to obey Him. Does it sound like that to you? His statement seems more matter of fact. Like He's saying, because you guys love me, you will obey me. There are others who don't love me, and so they're not going to obey me. But you guys do love me, and so you are going to keep doing what I've commanded you to do. Jesus is making clear that there's a connection between love and obedience. And it's not exactly a linear connection, though. If it was linear, we might be able to say that when the disciples blow it, that they don't really love Jesus. But let me ask you this. Did Peter suddenly stop loving Jesus when he denied Him three times? No. Of course he loved Jesus. But still he blew it. So it's not a linear relationship, but it is a positive relationship. Obedience is what naturally comes from a loving relationship with Jesus. Jesus is teaching the guys that part of what it means to be a disciple, part of what it means to love Him even after He's gone, and I think that's a critical part of it, is that they're going to keep being obedient to His commands that He has given them. The obedience, though, comes and will come out of their love for Him, out of their relationship with Him. And so why is obedience such a big deal? Why does their obedience matter? We'll see what the Scripture says. Look again at verse 21. Jesus says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." So, question. Does the Father only love those who love Jesus and obey his command? And does Jesus only love those who love him and show himself to those who are perfectly obedient? It's tricky, huh? And the answer is no. John says earlier, "So God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only Son." So what does it mean when Jesus says that they will be loved by the Father? It must mean that when disciples are showing their love for Jesus through obedience, they will experience in fresh, new ways God's love for them. Because disobedience always creates relational barriers. Disobedience always creates little walls that divide. One of the first cars that my parents ever purchased, first brand new cars that they ever purchased right off the lot, was a 1967 Toyota Land Cruiser FJ40. And I think we have a picture of it. Not actually, that's not it. But that is exactly what it looked like at my parents' house. And when I was very young, my dad was still using it as a daily driver, but eventually it ended up, like things happen when you live in the country, a fixture next to the workshop where it stayed all the time. Still, it was my dream car. I imagined for most of my life having that Toyota Land Cruiser. And when I was 14, my oldest brother moved back home for a stint after college. And one of the things that we worked on together while he was home was getting the Land Cruiser back up and running. And this only fanned into flame my love for the car and my dream for how I would fix it up and what I would do and what color I would paint it and what things I would add to it. And even though the car was running, though, it wasn't licensed and it wasn't insured, so we couldn't take it on the road. But when you live in the country, there's privileges, and so we could take it on the dirt roads. We took it on the dirt roads behind the house and through all the orange groves, and we did that often. But one day, when I was home alone, I decided against the clear, very clear will of my parents that I would take the Land Cruiser for a drive by myself. I was 14, which is probably when some of you started driving on the roads, but I decided I would take it. So I grabbed my dog and I grabbed the keys and we went for a cruise through the orange trees. And it was great. It was scandalous. It was thrilling. The top was off and the wind was blowing through my hair and everything was going great until I ran into one of the outbuildings. The building shook. My poor dog was not wearing a seatbelt. Slammed right into the floorboard. And my heart sank. Surely my mom and dad would find out about my escapade, and I would be forever busted. But as I got out to see with tears streaming down my face, I started thanking the Lord. I had a worship service right there because the building was still standing, even though it was old as dirt, and the Land Cruiser was built like a tank. And so there was only the slightest bend to the front bumper. And my dog was breathing again, so everything was fine. And so I limped back to the house and I parked the Land Cruiser right exactly in the tire grooves where it always sat. And I put the keys right back where they were and I covered up all the evidence and I prayed and prayed and prayed that my parents would never find out. It's interesting what disobedience does to your heart. Disobedience always creates a relational barrier. Have you noticed that? And so for several days after that, I was completely preoccupied with keeping my joyride a secret. Later that day, when mom and dad came home, I avoided them. I didn't engage with them. I wasn't in a place to receive their love. I was guilty, and I knew it. And for weeks, I was nervous every time we walked near the Land Cruiser, afraid that someone might notice what had happened to it. Disobedience always creates a relational barrier. And they might have suspected something was up when I started helping with the dishes and doing my chores and without any complaining. See, I used obedience to try to get back in right relationship with them. And even though I didn't confess right away, living again in obedience over time helped me to open up to the experience of to experience the fullness of their love for me. It took that relational barrier down in me. I didn't have that thing between us anymore, and it did feel good finally to confess during last year's Christmas. But that's another sermon. So, living in and love and living in obedience to God keeps our hearts open to receiving and experiencing His love. When I'm willfully sinning, I want to stay as far away from God as possible. Just like Adam and Eve, remember? Who tried to hide from God after they disobeyed Him? My disobedience always creates a relational barrier between me and God. But when I'm in the midst of obedience, I'm more alive than ever. This last week, I attended a monthly gathering of pastors from downtown churches. And there was a pastor there who attended for the first time. He's launching a new church in his apartment complex over on Tulare Street, just on the other side of 99. And it wasn't something that he said that he had ever imagined doing, but he felt the strong call of the Lord to birth this new church. And he said that starting this new church is one of the scariest things that he's ever done, but he's feeling more alive. He's feeling more passionate. He's feeling more fervent in his faith than he ever has before because of his obedience. He said, and I quote, "Ain't nothing like being in the will of God." That's what Jesus means in verse 21. One of the reasons that obedience really matters for us and for discipleship is that God uses it to increase our experience of His love and His revelation of Jesus. But I think there's another reason that it may be maybe even more important. And it comes out with Judas's question. Of course, he's not Judas Iscariot. The author helps make us clear who had already left to betray Jesus. But Judas asked Jesus, perhaps with a little disappointment, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the whole world?" See, Judas is responding to Jesus' assertion earlier that when he says that the world will not see him anymore. And Judas is probably wondering, like many of us often probably do, that why Jesus doesn't make a more worldwide, fantastic appearance. If he's going to come back from the cross, if he's going to rise from the grave, why doesn't he do so in such a way that the whole world can see it and appreciate it? At first glance, it might feel like Jesus is kind of sidestepping the question when he simply reiterates what he has already said, but he adds something very important. Let's see if you find it and hear it in verse 23. Jesus replied to Judas, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Not only will those who are loving and obeying Jesus experience more fully the love of the Father and the revelation of Jesus, the Father and the Son through the Spirit will come and take up residence with Him. In other words, Jesus answers Judas's question by saying that He will show Himself to the rest of the world. And how is He going to do it? through the disciples. When disciples are loving and obeying Jesus, they will be a witness to the rest of the world of who God is and how to live God's way. They'll be the witnesses of God's incredible grace and incredible love. And so the word for this week's cram session on discipleship is obey. How are you doing at obeying? Obedience really matters. It's a natural and expected outcome of a disciple's love for Jesus. It sets up, through the grace of God, a deeper experience of His love and the knowledge of Jesus. And God uses that obedience to be a witness to the world for God's love. Disciples are invited into a loving and obedient relationship with Jesus for the sake of the world, not just for themselves. There's just one problem. None of us are capable of love and obedience on our own. But praise God that He doesn't leave it up to us. First, Jesus demonstrates His own love and obedience to the Father by going to the cross. Look again at the end at verse 31. He says, "The world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me." See again the connection between love and obedience. And namely, the Father has commanded Him to demonstrate the love of God for the world by taking all of our sin and all of our brokenness and all of our disobedience on His own shoulders as the ultimate sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin and the salvation for those who believe. Because of the cross, the relational barriers with our disobedience creates can be shattered and we can be set free. We can be forgiven and made new. That kind of forgiveness is available completely from God's grace for those who simply put their trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. But that's not all. He's also going to give them the most wonderful, amazing gift. Who is it? The Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Encourager, the Advocate, the one sent in for help, the true friend. We're going to spend a lot more time talking about the Holy Spirit in just a few weeks, and it's going to be fun. So without kind of spoiling all of that, I'll just say this. Jesus wants them to know that they are going to have significant help. All the help that they need to love and obey Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come to help them, to remind them of Jesus' teaching, and to give them Christ's presence and Christ's peace. How awesome is that? Obedience to Jesus is absolutely an essential part of being a follower of Christ. But we don't obey to get position with Jesus or to gain standing with Jesus. He has already taken care of that on the cross. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, "Since we have been justified through faith, we have now peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We don't obey Jesus to earn God's peace, to earn God's salvation or God's justification. We don't obey in attempt to make God love us more or to prove ourselves to God how good Christians we are. Whenever we take that kind of perspective, it leads to legalism. And legalism leads to majorly missing the point. We obey as part of our love for Jesus, a love that it's only a response to His incredible love and grace that He's shown us, a response to the standing that He's already given us. We obey to show others the goodness and grace of Jesus, to be a witness of His incredible love for the world. Jesus expects His disciples to show their love for Him through obedience to His commands. And part of what the Holy Spirit does is to help us see our own disobedience. I wonder if the Holy Spirit is revealing any of your disobedience to you today. I hope and pray that He is. The devil wants you to feel guilty and defeated about your disobedience. The Holy Spirit wants you to be convicted in a way that points you and draws you to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Is there an area of disobedience in your life that the Holy Spirit is making clear to you today? Maybe it's something between you and another member of our church. Maybe it's a habit you think no one else knows about. Maybe it's an attitude that isn't glorifying to God. Maybe it's something you've been doing at work. Maybe it's a way that you're treating your family. Maybe it's a step of faith that you were unwilling to take. Maybe it's the way that you speak about others. Is there something in your life that is an area of disobedience to Jesus? Church, for the sake of Christ's mission, and for the sake of the witness of our church, I pray that the amazing grace of God, grace that's enough even for you and even for me, will draw you to repentance. And in your repentance, that you will experience anew how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's remember to obey for His sake. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. Come, Holy Spirit, show us the truth about our disobedience. Not so that we would be defeated and depressed and feeling guilty. Not that we would want to run and hide from You, God. Reveal to us in a way through Your grace that draws us to You by Your Spirit, that opens our hearts to repentance. The psalmist wrote that it's Your kindness that leads to repentance. It's Your grace, it's Your mercy that leads us to repentance. Show us that love that You have for us, even though we disobey, and draw us to a place of obedience so that we might experience more of Your love and more of who You are. And most of all, that we might show the world who You are and what You've done. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, Amen.